Please bow your heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day that we can get together, your saints, Lord. That song, Lord, we sing it to you from our hearts because we love you so. And we thank you, dear God, that you love us so. We pray you'll unite us together today in one accord. Pour out your spirit upon us and let us hear everything that is said. And let us not frown our brows or poke our fingers or anything else. Please bless us today, Lord, as we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I talk about a few things, I'd like to sing a song that I wrote this song a few years ago, because when I found the Lord, when I first found him, I was on fire. And before I really studied, before I did anything, I had been writing songs anyway, and they were Christian songs. But when the Lord came into my life, I decided I wanted to go out on the road and sing. And I had gotten a phone call one day, and somebody invited me to come and sing with them, and I did. And people seemed to like my music. So I went back home after a while, met my wife back there. We got married. Together we went on the road with a bunch of songs. But I never learned things like if somebody was to step on my toes and, you hear what that guy said? Man, and he calls himself a Christian? I mean, this happened to me all the time, and I was always never really truly happy, and looking at other Christians and seeing how happy they were, I thought, man, there's something wrong here. But I picked up the Bible here. It wasn't very long ago. Not long ago at all. It was while I was going to the Dexterville Church. Dwayne, he helped me out here. I developed a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Somebody had been praying for me, and I had prayed for it. It had happened, and I started studying. And this song that I sang now, it means more to me than it ever did. It's called Since the Day I Met the Lord. I've never been so happy since the day I met the Lord. He touched my heart and turned my world around. Like a wild vine, he tamed my passions and control. He let me see the world through the eyes of my Lord. He's taken away the bitterness, the lust, and the hate. Desires of this world, he's melted away. When I think of the price he paid on Calvary, what love, his love has set me free. Traveling the road of love with Jesus, following that bright morning star, loving everyone I meet a long life way, greeting everyone I see with a holy smile, following the Holy Son of God, walking the highways and the byways of life, walking with Jesus by my side. There's a song of praise ringing in my heart. I'll shout it to the world. His love has set me free. Following the road of love with Jesus, following that bright, loving everyone I meet along life's way. Greeting everyone I see with a holy smile, following the Holy Son of God. Traveling the road of love with Jesus, following that bright morning star, loving everyone I meet along life's way. Everyone I see with a holy smile, following the Holy Son of I know there's people in here that's had their toes stepped on. Even sitting in church, sometimes the pastor will say something or whoever's speaking, and you just know, man, somebody's talked to that guy about me. I know, because he said everything. I wonder who did this. I asked my wife, she'll tell you. I said, babe, did you say something to the pastor? Because what he preached today, you know, I've got this kind of a problem. Did you say something to him? Because it bothers me when I know I've got a problem. I never really understood the word edified or edification. And I'd like to read you something. We looked it up together, and I found it very interesting. Edification is something is for you, edification. Watch out. It means it's designed to improve you in some way, whether morally, educationally, or spiritually. And I got to thinking about it. And as I read in the Bible, different things meant so much to me. I always thought, as long as we kept God's commandments, we were okay. Don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't do this, don't do that. Love God with all your heart, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I just understood the surface. You know, I was nice. I like to make people laugh and this and that, you know. But I never really understood the deep meanings of the law of God until I started studying in the spirit of prophecy. It opened up a whole new meaning to me. But I'm not going to read from the spirit of prophecy today. I'm going to read some things from the Bible, because the deep meanings in these verses are incredible. Just like the first one that Don read this morning in verse 8, in 1 John.
Therefore, my brothers, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Adias, and beseech Sidij, that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat you also.
Oh, these crazy things, I'll tell you.
Gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord.
I wonder whether I should do that or not. But in 1 John, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And we go over here to chapter 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And in 9 and 10 it says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. I'll tell you something. For a long time, I have, the last time I was up here, if you remember right, I had to make some confessions about how I felt towards brethren in the church, and I had some repenting to do. But as I studied, I even went deeper, and I noticed that there was problems in our church, not in people as much as me. I've always been the paranoid guy, kind of guy, like people were talking about me because one thing, my tooth, you know that it's gone. Believe me, I have more problems knowing that this tooth is gone here. I swear, when people look at me and smile, oh, brother, are they laughing at me because of my tooth? I mean, these are the kind of things that you can, my wife will verify it. I have a complex somehow, I don't know. But I'm getting over it. Slowly but surely, I'm getting over it because I'm allowing God to come into my life more and more because I want to live forever with Jesus. There's a love that springs up in your heart that we can't explain. It's powerful. And it's, yesterday I got the word about my son, Jeremy. He's got lung cancer and colon cancer. And it's for real. He's scared to death. And I'm scared for him too. And it's tormenting me. But yet I have a peace because we have been praying for my kids. Pray, pray, pray. That's pretty much, we depend on prayer. We can go nowhere without prayer. And maybe the Lord is finding a way to save him because he has a deep problems in drugs, big time, and drinking. And I don't judge him. Believe it or not, I don't judge my son. I just love him. No matter what he does, I love him. And just a short time ago, I read the story in depth about David, how he loved his son, Absalom. And it just brought tears to my eyes. We were sitting there, and I was just, oh, David, David. I can imagine the love between him and God at that time and how God loved him so much. And I study and I find out that God loves me with that same kind of philia love. And it's beautiful. And I want that kind of love always in my life. And I pray for it in my church because I want my church to realize Jesus is coming soon. And people are going to step on our toes. And we have to have the lowliness and meekness of Christ. We can't let these little things bother us the way we're so easily bothered. If somebody steps on my toes now, I've made a pact with myself and God. I'm going to praise God because there must be something that I need to change about me. I would rather fight back with love than fight back with some kind of a rebuke and make an enemy and sit way over there and not stop and shake hands. I do love my church like my own family, and I want them to be in the kingdom. I see smiles that are so real when I come to this church. And when I see frowns and I see people hurt, I recognize that too. And I made a pact that I'm going to do something about it. And I pray that our whole church will get involved with this because I think it's so important. In John 1:8, let's see here. John 13:34. Not First John, this is just John 13:34. And Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Peter had so much to learn. He was full of sin, and he didn't know it. Just a thing like that. He was telling God, I love you so much, I'm going to stand up for you, I'm going to go to the end with you. He had no idea what he was saying. And John 13:34, you can tell I'm kind of a nervous guy. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus never pointed his finger. He never sinned one time. And I thought I was so much like him. I was getting more and more like him because I kept his laws. But inside my heart, it had to be retrained. And ever since I have been studying in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, I have taken heed to the things I've been learning. If you guys have not studied in the spirit of prophecy, we're living too close to the end to take chances now. We're going to have to stand up in one accord with Jesus. He's going to see us through this time. But we really do need to, whatsoever things we do, what we say to each other, pointing our fingers, eating. Don't let anybody be able to judge us in any way. We're supposed to be an odd people. And sometimes churches that I've been to throughout the United States, singing in that, our churches don't seem so odd. This church here does. More odd than others. Some people think we're kind of slow here, we're too lazy or sleepy or something, but I'll tell you the truth, I think we're pretty alive in this church. Our lead singer down there that leads song service, she gets up here with more enthusiasm than I've seen in a long time. And I think we should mimic her. I think we ought to be lifting our voice and singing, because we're singing to God, the God that's going to come in all of his glory, and most of the people are going to fall prostrate, and they're going to cry for the rocks to fall on them, and we're going to be shouting, who is able to stand? Who is able to stand? And I think of my dear children. But you know what? The only thing I can do, because they're grown, is live up to the things that I believe now. The teachings that Dwayne and I, we step on toes all the time, but we do it very gently. When we go from house to house and we're given these lessons, we've seen people walk away from diets they were carrying because it wasn't right. They walked away completely because they wanted to glorify God. They wanted to do everything to please God. And when they come to baptism, both of us has wiped tears from our eyes because we told the Lord, Lord, we'll do this, but you're going to have to help us because we don't know what we're doing. And we didn't know what we are doing. And sometimes we still don't. But when we get prayed up, and we know when we go in there and we sit down and open it up, the Holy Spirit comes in and everything seems to flow. And I praise God because I'm not nervous when we go to the houses anymore. I used to be, because I wasn't totally right with God either. But I just wanted to do something, just try to fight back. My life and my walk with God is getting much easier and happier, a joy that the only thing I can tell you is you're going to have to experience it yourself to stand up, because we are supposed to go and tell our neighbors, go and tell the people at the store, at the library, on the street, shout it to the world, put it on billboards, whatever it takes. Jesus is coming. And there's a law, a whole decalogue there that he expects us to observe. Not only observe, he demands us to keep his laws and the testimony of Jesus. And when they come to us and they start ridiculing us and putting us down and we don't have anything to say, When Jesus was put to the test, he didn't open his mouth. He stood and he took it. When he was asked a question, he answered it. But for the much, he said nothing. He took it all, the humiliation. Are we able to do that? Ask yourself, do you have a fear about it? Did David have a fear when he killed Goliath? I don't fear this as much as I did. God has done something incredibly to my wife and I, and for my wife and I, and our family. Some of our family, they don't come around anymore much because we don't allow certain things anymore, and we talk about Jesus all the time, and we do. We love Jesus. When he says, pray without ceasing, Paul says, that means, oh, Jesus. Almost every step you take, Jesus, thank you, Lord. I'm going to work in this room today. I would like to get so much done, Jesus. I can't do it without you. Everything that we do, whether it's physical, mental, visiting somebody, it doesn't matter. Don't go without Jesus in your heart. When he comes, and he's going to come quickly, and there may be a lot of things that we're going to have to go through, and maybe not, because the world has gone through a lot already. But what the Bible says, I believe is going to happen. I truly do. It's infallible, the Bible. I want to read you something that was in the spirit of prophecy. It is the most beautiful thing. I'm not going to stand up here and go on and on and on about this. I just really want you to search your own hearts. Will said earlier that we're going to have some evangelistic meetings in a little while. We have a job to do to try to get people, not just a whole lot of Adventists, but to get people to come that doesn't know. They're hungry. They're not getting fed somewhere else, or they've never been fed at all with spiritual. And I believe it's so important that we get up and give it a try. I mean, he went through all kinds of humility. Can you be laughed at and then stand up? Thank you, God. Thank you, because I'm being laughed at because I love you. And I don't care if they laugh at me or not. I'm going to go forward. But there's going to be somebody that's going to listen to what we have to say. Somebody. And because I know God will send them to you. He will. They're all around us. They truly are. And when we look out there and we see nice people and they don't know God, they're going to be lost. Oh, my. We can't let this happen without at least trying. Would we be willing to walk up to the tree of life if we haven't done our part, while others are going up there and grabbing it because they were burned to death at the stake? They were persecuted for us. The words in the spirit of prophecy in the Bible, these are the things that our church needs to buy from him diligently, with a heart that wants this more than anything. I want to live forever. And I know you do too, or you wouldn't be coming here every week. But we need somebody to strike a match underneath of us. I tell you, I know. And there's people in here, they're on fire. They just don't know how to make a move. Stop. We need to stop talking about things, gossiping, puts it all away, no matter what. If someone has a problem, go to the person yourself. Get right with them. Love them with the love that Christ puts in us. Not condemn them. We are not to condemn or sit on the judgment seat. That's God's place, not ours. Because we will be judged for the sin that we do. If I point my finger and I have something against a brethren, that's a sin that I'm holding inside me. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want that in me. I'm hating sin more and more. I can't stand it. Best news I've heard this week was that little baby. It's up to 2 pounds. God answers prayer. I'll tell you what, especially of a righteous people. And we're supposed to be a righteous people on fire for God. And we need to, as a righteous army, stand up and together in one accord, grab each other, say, hey, thank you for coming. Thank you. Oh, it's good to see you. It's the end of the week. Thank you. Oh, I love you so much. It's nice to tell people that you love them and that you care. People need to hear it. We need to hear it. That's our job, to greet your brethren with a holy kiss and a word of truth. Whatsoever things are pure and holy, oh, that's for me. Let me tell you. O wonders of redeeming love, the rapture of that hour, when the infinite Father, looking upon the ransomed, shall behold his image. Sin's discord banished, its blight removed, and the human once more in harmony with the divine. I want to live to see that day, and I don't want to see one person in our church lost. I don't. We have a pastor that feels the same way. I've got a partner down there that feels the same way. Believe me, we don't go around. We are not holier than thou. But we want to be holy. And we're trying. And we're going to make it because God's going to see to it. We're going to have that crown. A crown that would light up New York. The city of New York. One crown would light up the city. Oh, I believe it. And Christ will light up the whole world. He has. What's going on right now? We know. We're knocking at the door of eternity. It's happening right before our eyes. My grandpa, my mama, it goes back and back. We've been waiting for this for hundreds of years, for this moment, and it's here. We have to make our move now. We do. And I believe that we'll be there. If we put everything aside and be edified by the Spirit of truth, everything that we study, when he prayed that Father, that prayer to his Father for us, pray for the disciples and not for them alone, but those who believe on their word. Praise God. And I just wanted to say that this morning. Because that's a burden on my heart. My church is important to me, and it should be important to each and every one in here. Not the building so much, but the people, the children, the adults coming in. Bob, I know, there he is right there. Been up to see him a couple of times. He hadn't been home, but I'm going to go back because I like to visit with him. I met him at Lowe's one time. He's a neat guy to talk to. I like that man. I love him. And Patton, Bud here, and the people, Jim Eason, he's come out and helped Dwayne and I. Praise God, we need all the help that we can get. And we are looking for more to come, and quite possibly we have some that's going to be joining pretty quick. Yeah, we're praying that it will happen because we are willing and we want to do it, So when you leave here today, I pray that my stutterness and all this that I go through up here, I shake, my knees are knocking right now. This one leg, knee is just fluttering up and down. That's how nervous I get when I get up here. It's terrible. But I'll tell you, I love to talk about God. I do. And the truth will set you free. I believe it. Father in heaven, oh God, we see it coming to an end, and it's coming speedily. And Lord, we boil on the inside for the joy to know that we're going to see our King soon coming in the clouds. And we know that there are things ahead of us, But Lord, we know that you're going to see us through. We know, we trust you, Lord. We trust you with all of our heart, our mind, and soul, and we love you so much. And we thank you, dear God, that we have you that we can turn to in the closets in our mind. Every time we turn around, Lord, from one rebuke to another, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, Lord, we long to see Jesus coming in the glory. And to us, he will say, come on, Dan. Come on, Jim. Come on, Bob. Come on, Mr. and Mrs. Cumley. Bring your children. Come on home. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Thank you, oh God, for giving us these promises and the love that you put in our hearts and in our church, our family, dear God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.